We're talking about the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and we came up last Sunday morning to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have passed through many of these ministries and have come up, let's say we've gone through that we are born of the Spirit, baptized of the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit. So we come to the filling of the Spirit. Now, we went through some introductory material last Sunday evening so far as the filling of the Holy Spirit is concerned. And I'm not going into this. I want you to turn this morning to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I'm always tempted to preach from it when I come to it. But I want only to refer to just a very small portion of the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, which contains, among other things, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus. Now, as I said, it's always a temptation for me to preach about the conversion of Saul, but I'll try my best to avoid that this morning and yet turn to just a small portion of that which followed Paul's conversion experience. Now, you're well aware of what took place at Saul's conversion. He was smitten to the ground by a great light from heaven. And there, at that time, was given instruction by the Lord to go into Damascus and there visit a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord had already prepared Ananias for the visit of Saul. Now, I must pause and just mention the fact that here was a disciple of Christ named Ananias living at Damascus who undoubtedly heard about this murderous character coming to Damascus. Saul was on his way to Damascus with letters from the chief priests and from the authorities to arrest and to cast into prison certain disciples at Damascus. And he was on his way there breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the church. And he was on his way to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. But God intervened. And thus the Holy Spirit came to this disciple called Ananias and said, "Ananias, I am going to send to you Saul of Tarsus." Now, what an experience that must have been. This man who was known far and wide as a killer of Christians. He said, "Ananias, I'm going to send him to you. And when he comes to you, you are to minister to him." Here's what it says. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise," that is said to Ananias, "arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Can you imagine what Ananias must have felt when God told him to go and make that journey? But when God tells us to make a journey, we must understand that the Holy Spirit has already prepared the way before us. The instruction that we need to be certain about is whether or not God has spoken to us to make the journey. Now, if God tells us to go, go. Now, Saul was, of course, waiting for Ananias. Now, "And Ananias went his way," verse 17, "and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him," that is upon Saul, "said, Brother Saul," see the expression? "Brother Saul," all this man had ever heard about Saul was the fact that he persecuted the church. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Filled. Notice the word. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we said last Sunday night that the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself or from himself, that he reveals the person of Christ. He takes that which is from the Father and reveals it to us.
He speaks from God and is the educator of the believer. The Holy Spirit does not speak from himself. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is the cause of all true spirituality. His work is to show the life that is Christ so completely that one can say, as did Paul the Apostle, "For me to live is Christ." Now, this is said through the Holy Spirit's power. And to say, "For me to live is Christ," and say it in the flesh, is a ridiculous charade. He is to show that life. The Holy Spirit is to show that life that is Christ. But the sufficient power back of this possibility of the outliving of Christ is the Spirit of the living God. This is the only thing that makes it possible. And this is the result of the filling of the Spirit. Now, Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. He was converted there. There can be no question about that. And in conversion, he was born again. He was born of the Spirit. He was saved there. He became a child of God there. And in becoming a child of God, received what we talked about 2 weeks ago, received the earnest of the Spirit. For no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, "Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do?" So there the Apostle Paul received the earnest of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelt him there at the gate of Damascus. And he was a fully born again man when he walked into the house of Judas, and there met Ananias. Saul of Tarsus was born again there, blinded by the power of God. The leader of all of these Jews had to be led into this house. God had completely taken away his own personal power, his own personal magnetism, and that great persecutor, that great leader of men, had now to be led by the hand into the lowly house of Judas, there to be met by another one who would show him the way. So Saul of Tarsus was a changed man. Not by personal effort, not by personal power, not by personal strength, but by the power of God, who smote him to the ground first as a dead man, and then raised him from the ground alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blind, the seer, he who saw all of this theological truth that he was supposed to have seen, was now blind and comes into the house of Judas to meet Ananias. Now, under the ministry of Ananias, Paul the Apostle was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there were two results at that meeting. You'll notice, he said, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto me in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now look, and immediately, verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, or immediately. And he arose and was baptized. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Two things happened to Saul. He received his sight, and he was filled with the Spirit. Now, this experience under the hand of Ananias, or this happening, I should say, under the ministry of Ananias, had no part of Paul's salvation. None at all. Now remember, we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. It had no part of Paul's salvation. He was a saved man when Ananias met him. Brother Saul. He was a saved man there. But he was a blind saved man. So here with Ananias, he received his sight. Now that was not a part of his salvation, was it? The receiving of his sight. No. Now there is no record. You'll notice the Holy Spirit does not speak from himself. There is no record here of anything other than the fact that Saul received his sight. Read it. And was baptized. Now this was water baptism. He received his sight and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. That's all it says. It talks about nothing more than the fact that he received his sight and was baptized. But verse 20 says a great deal more. It does not speak about the experience of filling. It simply says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. So the filling of the Holy Spirit was the empowerment that Paul needed to be the messenger of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and not only in the synagogues of the Jews, but to the then known world. For by the word of his mouth, the gospel was spread across the known world of that day. Remember that he did it mostly on foot and from a prison cell in Rome. But here was beginning the ministry, not of Saul of Tarsus, not of Paul the Apostle, but here was beginning the ministry of God's Holy Spirit through an earthen vessel. It was the ministry of God's Spirit. And wherever God led him, this great warrior of God trod. He went the way that God wanted him to go. Whether it meant shipwreck, whether it meant prison, whether it meant beatings, whether it meant stonings, there he walked. And was able to say, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's no record of any emotion here. There's no record of any great tumult. Just the fact that he received his sight, spent a few days with the disciples, and straightway preached Christ in the synagogue. But the evidence of the filling of Paul the Apostle is conclusive, that he preached Christ in the synagogue. Now, this points out one thing, that Paul the Apostle was not occupied, and I have to be very careful here as to how to say this. Let me put it this way. There was no evidence here that Paul the Apostle was even conscious of the Holy Spirit. None at all. Now, follow with me, because we've left the shallow water and we're way out now. We're treading deep water. There's no evidence that he was even conscious of the Holy Spirit. Because he was altogether occupied with Christ. And this is what the ministry of the Spirit is. to be wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly occupied with Jesus Christ is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is the outward evidence of the filling of the Spirit. Not tongues and not fire and not rolling on the floor and frothing at the mouth and handling snakes and drinking arsenic. None of these things are evidence of the Spirit's filling. The only evidence the Scripture gives us as to the Spirit's filling is that total and continual preoccupation with Jesus Christ, God's Son. For when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will not speak of himself, but shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. That greatest gift of God, Jesus Christ, will become increasingly visible to that child of God who is filled with the Spirit. Now, this Holy Spirit is always the cause. He is always the cause. And Christ is the effect. Christ is the effect. Now, all around you, all over the country, I almost said the world, and maybe that's true, but all over east of the country, North American continent, there are those who are making merchandise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw him one time, this Reverend Ike. Well, we smile at Reverend Ike, but listen, multiply Reverend Ike, maybe not as large, maybe not with the audience that he has, but multiply the Reverend Ike by the thousands. Did any of you happen to see, I know Kitty saw this Korean on television one night. They call him the Master. And he has negated, he has cast aside all of Christianity. And he literally has thousands upon thousands of followers across the United States. Yes, even in Beckley, West Virginia, because out at the plaza, they're selling their flowers and their pencils and so on for the Master, even in Beckley. And he's cast aside all Christianity and claims that he will rule the world. His followers number in the tens of thousands. He has his own school and he does his own brand of brainwashing to where everyone is totally and completely dedicated to him as a person. In our own area, we have other counterfeits. But don't let the counterfeit fool you into believing that nothing is real spiritually. The counterfeit proves the real. You understand what I'm saying? When you find a counterfeit $20 bill, it couldn't be a counterfeit $20 bill if there were no $20 bills around. In order to counterfeit anything, there has to be the real thing. And in order to counterfeit the filling of the Holy Spirit, we must be conscious of the fact that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a reality. Now, I can come out here and let my hair grow and get me a chain and put it on my neck and put some beads on it and a cross and put on a robe with pom-poms on the bottom of it. And we can get us an organ in here. I'm sure we can do it if we set our minds to it. We'll do anything else we want to. We get us an organ in here. We get somebody in that will play a good type of ragtime. And we can go into the Christian show business. And we can have fillings of the Holy Spirit, and we can have baptisms of the Holy Spirit, and we can have healings, and we can have all of this that goes along with this type of tomfoolery. What does it? Ask yourself this question. Where does it direct attention? Where do these things point? Where does has a healing ministry point to. Oh, I can stand. If I go into this sort of thing, and God forbid, I'm not. It's the farthest from my mind, and you know that. But if I were to engage in this type of thing, and would get a following, and I would stand up and say, "Now the healing is of God. I have nothing to do with it. It's completely out of my hands." Would it do any good for me to say that? Where would the attention be directed as I walk down the streets of Bethlehem? Where would the attention be in every service in this church? Would it be on the Lord Jesus Christ? It would be on an ulcer, or on a bad leg, or arthritis, or a heart condition, or bad headaches, or bad teeth, or the tonsillitis, and thinking, now, who's going to get healed this morning? That's where the attention is. Now, the Holy Spirit directs. Now, you remember this in any church service that you find yourself, whether it's whether you're here or whether you're somewhere else. Remember this, that the filling of the Holy Spirit always directs us to Christ. Never anywhere else. Not ever. The Spirit is the cause of all spiritual blessing, and Christ is the effect of all spiritual blessing. And it is Christ in you, Paul wrote to the Colossian believers, the hope of glory. Now, as a teacher, if I draw attention to anyone else other than Jesus Christ, I have failed in my ministry. Whether that attention is drawn to me or whether it's drawn to you or someone else. And it is an evident sign that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not in evidence. Now, there are examples of this, and my word, examples everywhere. You can begin at the Holy Spirit's coming. In the second chapter of Acts, in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Example 1. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and verse 8. Verse 8. I know why I put that down. Just as a preamble. I'll not read the whole thing. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, here was another. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You drop clear down. Follow this whole thing through. Drop clear down to verse 31. When after Peter was arrested and so on and so forth. And the people prayed and